Robin Hood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
We like to think of our farm as a peaceable kingdom, a haven of calm and quiet in a universe convulsed by seething, surging, and often negative energy. Last weekend, while volcanoes erupted and wars and protests raged elsewhere, I worked alone in the vegetable garden in a cold drizzle. The loudest sound in my ear, the methodical crunch of sheep grazing in the nearby pasture in rhythmic unison. It seemed remarkable, I thought, that one could hear such a sound from more than 100 feet away. But the concerted, ripping, crunching sound of 50 grazing sheep travels. The slow, deliberate quality of their ripping, and then the quiet, dignified posture the sheep assume to ruminate, that is, digest their cud, creates a soothing atmosphere. In some ways, my garden activity in that cold drizzle seemed perfectly in sync with the sheep. I was slowly, calmly, and methodically transplanting lettuce seedlings, roughly 300 of them. I had direct sown them in the garden at the beginning of April, mostly of two varieties, Butter Crunch, a sweet, dark, coast-type lettuce, which is our best seller, and Forellenschluss, the more delicate German romaine, light green with red speckles, that we keep hoping will catch on. By now they each had 3 or 4 small leaves, and each head was not quite an inch in diameter. The transplanting is quiet, delicate work. These small lettuce heads often grow so closely together that their roots are intertwined, and they're almost impossible to separate without losing the root ball, that compacted bit of soil knit together by the roots, while digging them up and moving them. One of the cardinal rules of transplanting is to keep the roots encased in the soil as much as possible. Peter still torments me over flubbing the transplanting of one of the two tulip trees we did some 15 years ago. The one he planted carefully, keeping the root ball perfectly intact, is now discernibly taller and broader than the one I roughly yanked out of the pot the wrong way, losing all that soil. But with the young lettuces, when the roots are almost inevitably laid bare, one has to plant them all the more gingerly, compacting damp soil around them in a way that doesn't break the roots and micro-roots. I was grateful for the cool drizzle that helped prevent the roots from drying out. And while this work requires some attention, it's the sort of attention that can occupy just a small corner of one's brain, leaving the thoughts free to wander, as wander mine did. And perhaps ironically, but maybe not surprisingly, rather than reveling in the calm, quiet, ordered atmosphere enveloping me and becoming a spiritual part of it, my mind wandered directly out of there to ruminate instead on the insistent, forceful, and chaotic energy that's also always lurking outside or maybe under the surface. It wasn't just perversity of mind that sent my thoughts in that direction. I was jump-started by my sense of wonder at how so many heads of lettuce could have come from the number of seeds I had planted. I thought I had been pretty judicious, careful to space the seeds about 3 inches apart, one at a time. From what I've read, what we get in the lettuce packet is actually considered the lettuce fruit, in which a single seed is contained, which will produce just one plant, unlike beets, which produce several plants per seed. So how is it that within a space of any given 3 inches, I ended up with up to 6 or more heads of lettuce that then had to be separated in order for them to grow properly and to thrive? Peter thinks I must just not be recognizing how difficult it is to parcel out the tiny seeds, that in fact I've been dropping them far more densely than I think I've been doing. But I'm somehow convinced that I'm contending with the inherently explosive and uncontrollable nature of the life force that fills the seeds, that somehow I'm seeing multiplication, the lettuce equivalent of twins, triplets, quadruplets, and more. Seeds may well be, as Peter suggested last week, the microchips of the natural world, embedded with detailed genetic blueprints. They are, as he convincingly demonstrated, a form of intellectual property and our collective heritage. That's all true, but that just describes the cerebral aspect of these mystical devices called seeds, not their ever-present dynamic aspect as repositories of energy. The microscopic design, the genetic blueprint imprinted in the seed may be the seed's brain, but to my mind it has its counterpart, as all life does, in the enormous energy concentrated within the body, just bursting to emerge. It is the business of life to reproduce itself, to surge violently, to force itself out into the world and to populate it. Semen explodes, plant seeds disperse. The energy spreads with urgency and purpose that will not be denied. It's a force we can never hope to fully control, only to manage. Perhaps it was the contrast with the very calm of the farm in which I was enveloped, but my thoughts were consumed by the pervasive power of this force. Did it really explain the proliferation of all these little lettuces? I don't know, but somehow I had the sense that it did. Last Tuesday, having business in Albany, I got back to the farm just in time for tornado warnings to send us to the basement. Thankfully, what followed was not a tornado, but we had a violent storm nonetheless, with very high wind and some enormous hail, one at least midway between a golf ball and a baseball. I left for the city as soon as the storm had blown through, but heard from Peter the next day that the wind and hail had taken a toll on our early garden, smashing up the rhubarb beds and shredding most of our mature sorrel leaves. The effect on the fruit and berry crops is yet to be determined. After all that careful transplanting on the weekend, I was relieved to hear that those little lettuce seedlings, mostly nestled in beds of mulch straw and small enough to have been missed, had come through just fine. They serve as a reminder that nature's relentlessly explosive, pulsing energy is only sometimes destructive. In the main, it's creative, expansive, and the source of life's pleasures.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farm, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website, TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.